It's great to be with you today. I ministered to you last week on faith and wisdom and how those twins help us in our walk with faith and love in Christ. But today I'm going to be talking about hearing and doing, hearing and doing. We're continuing in the book of James, but we're also going to be looking into 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to share some things from God's word that I hope will be relevant, will be helpful, and will benefit you in your Christian walk. There's nothing better than God's word, and His Holy Spirit can join with it, that gives hope in life and gives an understanding of living that helps us as believers to see His kingdom become reality, His work be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when we are hearers and doers of the word, we can see and become the benefactors of that faith. Amen. Thank you for those at Covenant of Grace Ministry and Fellowship that are listening in and pursuing study with us. Also those who are at Greater New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, St. Martin of Tours, and others who have let me know that they're listening in to these studies. And I pray that God will bless you as we're going to be going on a year-long lectionary tour of various places in the scripture and topics that I want to deal with and books of the Bible that I want to hone in on. So I pray that God would touch you and bless you as we consider Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we pursue His righteousness. Amen. There's nothing better than pursuing Jesus. You know, you can pursue a lot of things in this world. You can want to possess a lot of things in this world, and we go about in this world looking for things that we think are going to satisfy our soul and our body and etc. But to pursue Jesus Christ makes a lot of sense in so many ways because He is the complete picture and He's the provider and He is the Lord of all. And so when you pursue Him, everything else seems to fall in place. But when we get off track, when we make Jesus just a bag we bring along, or He's just a backup plan, or He's someone that we use or pull out of a hat when we think we need something magic or something miraculous to take place, that kind of faith or pursuance of Christ is of none effect, is of no value. But if He is the one we're looking towards, if He's the one we're pursuing, if He's the one that has set the course before us and we listen to Him, we are going to see the grace of God. And we're going to see the scriptures come alive in our hearts and our lives. Amen? There's nothing better than knowing Jesus. Hallelujah. When I get off course, when I am not pursuing Him, I know it. I don't know about you, but I know it. Because certain things aren't coming into view. I seem out of whack. And things in the world seem to more or less carry me along rather than His Holy Spirit guiding me into all truth. Let's just say you're going through a day and you just know that that day and the events of the day are just pushing you and pushing you. And Christ is just so far behind and things that you don't got a handle on. It's just controlling you. Those kind of days are less in view and become less predominant in your life when you begin the day or when you take hold of the day in pursuance of your relationship with the Lord and your faith. And you don't let the obstacles of this world get the best of you. You've already prayed for wisdom, and God grants it to you throughout the day. Amen. Pursue the goal God has given you. Pursue the purpose He's given you. Pursue the plan He's given you. And allow whatever happens around about you not to be that which gets you off course. Amen? That's so easy to do. So let's get into the Word of God here and look at James Chapter 1, 19 through 27. Hallelujah. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, verse 19 of James chapter 1, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. I like that. Brethren, every man should be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Okay. Wrath should be something that is intermittent. It shouldn't be around too often. And there should be an holy anger at times about certain things. But wrath should not be a partner to your lifestyle. Second of all, we sometimes speak too much, say too much, and blurt out things too quickly without getting the whole picture and the whole story. And so this scripture is very important for us to remember, because we love to talk. We love to say our piece, but so many times we don't listen to the other person, or we ignore the other person. Okay? How many of you go through a conversation and really don't listen to the person that you're talking to? Probably a lot of you. Okay? And that's not beneficial. And that shows a lack of respect for that person. No matter what you think of that person, no matter if you think they're the most unintellectual person in the whole world, they're just a fly-by-night, they are just emotional, they're this and that, it doesn't matter. If you choose to have a conversation with somebody, you need to show some respect towards that person. And sometimes if you listen and begin to, you know, understand what's going on, you will be able to help that individual or give them some insight, and just your acknowledgement and respect and being slow to speak will give you an opportunity to be a blessing or to give input in that person's life in a positive measure, whether or not you think that person is worth really listening to. Okay? So remember, brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I had somebody in one of the churches I pastored that wouldn't say very much at all in the meetings we were at and everything else, and it really kind of bothered me. I never could totally get a sense of where that person was in their respect to what we were discussing. But I respected their ability to listen. And when they did speak, they spoke with clarity. They spoke with wisdom. And they had really germinated. They had really considered what had been spoken of. And they got it, the basic essence of it. And I really appreciated that. And in our hearts and lives, if we would listen more and be able to take in what people have to say or look at the whole picture on various issues, we won't get caught up running after this or running after that or reacting to this and making assumptions that are wrong. Amen? Going off on old wives' tales or off on rumors or off on this or that. You got my drift? Amen. We do well to listen. Verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The wrath of man. Wrath and anger being exposed does not equip the righteousness of God. It doesn't. It shows a lack of understanding and walking in the patience, the attitude, the wisdom of God. It shows a sense of giving in to the natural man and the tendencies of quick anger. There are so many times in history where you look at people who have lost their temper, who have given in to quick wrath, who have not analyzed the situation, and have so many times said things and done things that have disqualified them to be respected and honored because of what they've done. There's been people in the church, there's been people in politics, there have been people in history that because of their quick anger, because of the wrath they've shown that was not proper in its perspective of what was going on and was, you know, not appropriated correctly, it saw harm to so many people. And we have to be careful about that, because a lot of people I know are quick to anger, and they let their wrath and their words spill out. And then they just want to go on like nothing happened. Like it didn't matter. And expect the relationship and everything else to be okay, that I am supposed to just suck it all in and deal with it. Well, folks, it shouldn't have to be that way. And you need to be more careful. I need to be more careful about wrath and anger. Okay? There is a righteous indignation, but we would do well to make sure that it has been harnessed within the vernacular of what God's scripture talks about, being instant in the spirit and out of the spirit, and to understand that when the spirit of God comes upon us and helps us to understand things, we do so and react when we do react to something out of a way that is really the will of God, really what God would want us to do, really what the Lord would want us to speak. And not out of a heart of anger, upset, or what I perceive of being wrong. Okay? Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to what? I like this part. Save your souls. Let's read that again. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart, okay, filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, all the bad stuff, the things that catch us up, the nasty stuff, whatever, and receive with meekness, with gentleness, kindness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. I want to receive with humility and grace, okay, the engrafted word. That is a word that gets into my heart and my life. Not just some peripheral thing, not just some sideshow, not just something I maybe get bits and pieces of. But the engrafted, it becomes a part of me. It is written on the tablet of my heart, the word of God, okay, because it will save my soul. My whole being. The word of God can help preserve you if you allow it to become a part of you. Meditate upon it. Study it. Memorize it. Allow the word of God become rich to you. And when it becomes something that is precious to you, it will have great fruit in your life. But if the word of God is not precious to you and isn't really engrafting you and you are just regurgitating things that, you know, you have within your mind that are really not part of your spirit, haven't become a part of you, they're not practiced out in your life, you're not a hearer and doer of the word, they're going to have no effect. Okay? The word of God that gets into you and becomes something that is not just being listened to, but allows you to become active in and pursuing your faith with action, sees the carrying out of God's word in a supernatural way that is powerful. But when we receive the word and just let it be intellectual nonsense, etc., and it's just there in the mind and not really in the heart and the mind, it's not going to have much effect. Amen. It is the saving of your souls. So, a couple things here. One, we need to lay aside those things of filthiness. We need to lay aside those things that are naughty and wrong and shouldn't be. We know what they are. Conscience tells us. And we need to receive the word of God. Take in as much of the word of God you can by preached word, by taught word, by read word, by listened to word, okay? In whatever fashion and form, where they're from God anointed, God blessed, you know, messengers and scripture reading, etc. Take it in, okay? And allow it to really become a part of you and become engrafted and help you in your spiritual life. Be careful about taking in the things that are worthless, okay? The filthiness, the nastiness of this world, the naughty things that, quote, we think are all right at times and we laugh about, all right? But not in the right vernacular or anything else are really bad or impediments. They're impediments towards our spiritual lives. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. I appreciate people of humility. How about you? I've met a lot of people that think they're great. They think they're something else. They think they're geniuses, etc., and have so much pride or whatever that they are of no spiritual good because they don't really understand the word of God. They don't have wisdom considering things of God. They just have a head knowledge or they just have a debater spirit. Head knowledge and a debater spirit. As a pastor, I've dealt with this many, many times. Those who, quote, think they, you know what's going on and try to, they've talked about or they've considered, you know, where my faith is, et cetera. And they say, oh, well, hey, it's just hogwash. Heaven and hell doesn't exist. You know, this doesn't exist. Da, 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 da. And they go into this intellectual spasm, I call it. This intellectual spasm. And they just speak out these things that they think sound so good, and et cetera. And they are just caught up in their own moral conundrums and don't recognize that there's a battle going on and that they don't realize what is going on in the scriptures and how life comes forth from the word of God. Because there is a living God and there's a living word. He is the word made flesh and dwelt among us, the Lord. And so that word comes alive, becomes life. Be careful about just going about and debating and talking about different things with people who really, they have no purpose in their heart to do anything good with, okay? They're not really doing it to, you know, of any benefit to you or whatever. They're just trying to spout off. They're just trying to talk like they know what they're talking about. Oh, and they made up their mind about something. Pray for them. Don't spend a lot of time wasting your time with people who do not want to listen to what you have to say. They don't respect what you have to say. Okay? You want people who are swift to hear and slow to speak. And you want to deal with people who can truly have a conversation with you where there's a heart of humility. Now get me here. With a heart of meekness to receive the engrafted word. When there is somebody who truly wants to learn and they have a heart of meekness and humility and they're not caught up with who they are, what they are, and how much knowledge they have, etc., I can deal with those people and I can have a great conversation and even disagree on things and know that something good has happened in that relationship and or talk that we've had because both of us have interjected things which I believe have seeds to sow that are positive. Amen. But those who are proud and haughty and think of themselves as everything in the world and don't receive truth, don't receive understanding, don't mess with them. Don't spend too much time on them. Pray for them. Ask the Holy Spirit to touch their hearts, okay? Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We need to be doers of the word. You know, you need to take the word of God and try it out. Amen. You need to begin to do something with the word of God in your life in order to see the fruit of the Spirit. But if you'll go out and do the things of God and work out the word in your life, you'll begin to see the fruit of the Spirit and begin to see the fruit of everyday living under the provision of the Lord and the promises of God and His covenant in the Scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when that faith becomes evident and we do the word, good things happen. When I live out the Scriptures accordingly, good things happen. I see the cause and the effect. But when I don't live it out and I'm just kind of doing my own thing, you know, there's no substance to it. There's no faith to it. So it doesn't sprout and do anything. But when I live out and speak out and consider the engrafted word of God, something awesome takes place. Amen. You know, you need to work out your faith. You need to go about and live your faith. You need to be kind to those around about you. You need to pray for those around about you. You need to give food to those who need food. You need to show the Christian attitude and lifestyle of giving, loving, and caring. And as you show forth the love of God and demonstrate His love, things happen. Don't be self-centered. Don't be caught up in your own self. Don't be caught up in pride and arrogance. Don't be just talking about yourself, wanting to speak about yourself, and only think about yourself. Hallelujah. We are a selfish generation. Come on. Amen. We are a selfish generation. You know, I can look back and say, well, there's this and that, whatever, of every generation that we could talk about under the sun. But we seemingly are a very selfish generation. But yet, every generation in some way, point, or time have had a problem with selfishness. Because it's the easiest thing to give in to. Because it placates and makes me feel good. Okay? So every generation has a battle with selfishness. And how we deal with that and appropriate the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit is so important. Because God will get rid of that selfishness. And will help you to see others as more important than yourself. Will help you to see others. And you'll get a kick out of it or a blessing out of blessing others more than you bless yourself. And then all of a sudden the residual effect of your faith and love begins to take a place. And you get blessed more than anybody else around about you. Because you're sharing, giving, and caring. And because you're sharing, giving, and caring, all of a sudden, all these other things will be added unto you. Amen. All these other things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. God wants to bless His people. But we've got to get rid of the selfishness. And when God can rid of us of the selfishness, and we begin to look at the world in a different way, and our friends and our neighbors and loved ones, and become givers of truth, givers of life, givers of hope, givers of love, etc., everything around about us is going to change. It's going to get affected, or you're going to see response from it. Amen. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. Okay, let's look back at 23 again. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Okay, and when he beholds himself, goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he is. You get ready in the morning. You get that old mirror out. You begin to fix that hair. You begin to get those clothes on just right. You begin to get ready for the day. And you know, okay, you know, you get ready for the day, you think you look pretty good, and you go out and just do your thing, right? Well, sometimes we forget who we are. You know, even as we get ourselves ready and get dressed up and prepared up for the day, sometimes we can forget who the real me is. And we adorn ourselves or put on a facade or put on a nature of ourselves that is not our own. It's not what God made us. And we sometimes try to become someone else or try to do something else with our life that is not what God ordained for us to do. We don't get it. We don't understand it. We don't get the wisdom that God wants and the understanding of who we are and how we're to live. And sometimes we try to live other people's lives or try to perform like someone else, and we don't really get down to business about who I am in Christ, look at myself in the mirror spiritually, correctly, and to be making the appropriate changes necessary for the work of God's grace and His kingdom. Amen? How many of you have ever read the story or listened to stories about Dorian Gray? Okay? Dorian Gray. Dorian Gray, man, he was caught up in all sorts of superfluity and naughtiness. He lived his life just the way he wanted to. And he did it so, et cetera. And no matter what happened, quote, you know, he had this picture that had been painted about him and all the bad things about him, et cetera, you know, except this picture kind of contained what he really was, what he'd really become. And yet he kept his youth and vibrantness, et cetera. And this picture, though, portrayed who he was and what he was and how bad of a person he was. And sometimes we need to have a Dorian Gray revelation. We might see ourselves in the mirror looking like such and such, but this mirror and this portrait in the other room is who we really are, and it portrays what we've become. The superfluity and naughtiness, the filthiness, the other things. We look, ooh, hideous. Well, that's the God picture. We're looking at the mirror and we think of ourselves, we perceive ourselves such as spiritually, emotionally, and physically. But we miss it out. And because of our lifestyle, et cetera, here's this picture like Dorian Gray and this portrait, and it's become hideous or whatever. It's just not what it should be. We need to be careful about how we live out, and we need to really recognize who we are in Christ Jesus, and we need to let God work with us and in us. Amen. Praise God. But whoso, verse 25, looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Okay? Keep in mind the perfect law of liberty, walk in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free, and continue therein. And being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Don't forget what God has input in your life. Don't just cast it aside when God's word is not convenient. Okay? Too many times we as believers put aside God's word when it's not convenient. I do it. You do it. Come on. Let's be honest with us. Let's be honest with ourselves here. We put aside the word when it's not convenient. But who's always keeping an eye out on us? The Lord sees everything. The Holy Spirit. God is working with us. And we think we do everything in its own little privacy world or in our own little partitions of living. We don't think that God, sometimes really, take notice. But he does. And in each and every one of our hearts, sometimes we just put aside God's word. We put aside his Holy Spirit. We put aside certain things when it's not convenient. I went to be at a minister's conference a while back. And as I went to go to that minister's conference and minister, I had to minister and teach one of the sessions, etc. During that conference, there were some things that, the Lord had put upon my heart to share that, it's like my human man, me, didn't want to deal with it all. And I kind of wanted to bypass it. And so I didn't really want to deal with it in my message, et cetera, to the brethren. Because it, in that setting, et cetera, and that group of ministers, that wasn't a real comfortable, message to bring out what the Lord had put upon my heart. But I ended up doing it. Thinking, well, this is the last time you're going to preach for these guys. They're going to run you out of town. Except they didn't invite you for this word. It would have been convenient for me to kind of stick to what I knew they liked and kind of what I knew they were appreciative of and been very, edifying. But I had this word that was kind of mixed into my message that was for them, and it was kind of touching upon some things that had become a part of that group and they needed to deal with. And the Holy Spirit showed me. Well, Brother Boston let it out. And I went ahead. I've been in this thing too long. I've been serving God for too many years now. I listen to the Holy Spirit usually. It's the best way to go. So, amen. It really is always the way to go, right? And so I went ahead and gave the word. I really was nervous. But I finished. I began to bare my heart at the end of the message and then called upon brethren to come and pray up front who wanted to pray and seek God. Usually, that they just kind of in their seats, whatnot. But I called ministers specifically to come up front if they needed special prayer, if they needed some edification, et cetera. And boy, people opened up. People opened up. And there were some confessions made, which I didn't ask them to do. They just blurted it out. And it's not easy for preachers, amongst preachers, to cast forth their sins. But they did. Because in the midst of that minister's meeting, there was a spirit that was there that, hey, this is a safe place to share who I am. Because God has come to us through this word and through the work of the Spirit, and boom. And so they did. Preachers were hugging one another that never hardly talked to one another, I found out later. People were talking to one another about things that they had never talked about for years, and they'd let it get the best of them, etc. It was a meeting of God's Spirit, touching the heart of man, helping the doers of the word that got something done inside. We need to be listeners to God. We need to reiterate what God has spoken to us, and we need not put God's word aside out of convenience. Both that which is the word of God in Scripture and the word that God gives us through the work of the Holy Spirit. Because it's necessary for godliness and holy living. Amen. I digressed a little bit here, but I think I related something to you that is important. Amen. Let's look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Wow. This scripture could be a poster board, for in many churches, whatever. If any man among you seem to be religious. We like to put up appearances, don't we? We like to put up appearances. I tell you, brethren, here at Covenant of Grace, I minister in other churches, saying, don't put up airs for me. Don't put up a persona of who you are to try to cover up anything before me. You don't have to worry about me. I want to bless you and I want you to bless me. So just be yourself. Let the Lord minister through you. But too many of us too many of us want to just be religious, and we know the game. Now, I'm going to get into something here that, you know, I in a sense, I'm uncomfortable. It's not convenient to talk about. Let's just be honest. It's not convenient to talk about. But we're going to do it right here, right now. Okay. And after I'm done, I hope you still love Brother Vossen. Okay. I'm preaching at me just as I'm preaching, you know, I'm preaching to me just as I'm preaching to you, okay? All right? We know how to make this thing look when it comes to the Christian faith if we've been in it very long. Okay? We know how to do the Pentecostal thing. We know how to do the Charismatic thing. We know how to do the Baptist thing. We know how to do the Presbyterian thing. We know how to do the Episcopal thing. We know how to look holy. I know how to just walk it, talk. I've been around. I know how this works, you know. I know how to make myself look good. I know all the creeds. I know all this. I got it. And even if I'm not doing righteous living, even if I'm not serving God the way I should, even if I'm not listening to the preaching, if I'm not, and I'm just doing my, I can give you the appearance that, hey, I'm all right with God. Quit putting up appearances. Quit being religious. Be yourself. Be honest. Allow the Lord to do work in you. Let the Word of God have an effect in you. Let the engrafted Word give you hope. And let the Word of God become life. Quit putting up airs. Quit putting up appearances. Quit trying to be religious. Okay? Be people of faith. Be people of love and expression unto God. Be people that care one for another. You know, hey, I want real singing. I want real preaching. I want real testimonies. I want real lifestyles before me. Okay? Be sincere in your approach to God and one another. And don't just be religious. You know, we're the most comfortable with being religious when we know our life is not good. We're not living right. It gives us a sense of feeling all right, okay, even when we know our lifestyle stinks in the nostrils of God. Okay? So there's no need to do that. There's no need to do that because we want to honor the Lord. We want to have a right relationship with Him and one another, and we want to make heaven our home, right? There's no need to do that. Let yourself go before the mirror of God, and let yourself see yourself for who you are, and get yourself ready for the day in prayer and fasting and contemplation of His Word, and then go out and do the business of God. Okay? Get out that mirror, that Holy Ghost mirror, and let God be able to show you who you are. And then for you to prepare yourself every day, like you're looking before that mirror, after prayer, after meditation on God's Word, and then go out and do whatever God has for you to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's be honest with one another. So if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. How many people you know don't bridle their tongue? They don't have their tongue under control. It's not controlled under the bit of the Holy Spirit. And God's not directing, but that tongue is just going boom, 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 boom out everywhere. Saying whatever. Cussing, lying, scheming, whatever it might be. Okay? We need to allow the Holy Spirit to bridle our tongue. And we need to be slow to speak. And speak when we do with words of wisdom, edification, and hope. Words of wisdom, edification, and hope. Amen? Well, I'm just going to tell it the way it is, Pastor. Well, sometimes I wish you wouldn't tell it the way it is. Because basically that's your carnal man wanting to talk. And that might be funny to you, but it isn't funny to me. And I promise you it's not funny to God. Well, I just let them know where the rubber meets the road, Pastor. Yeah, you let us know where the rubber meets the road. And you just showed us a bit of your carnality. Oh, well, just get used to it. No, I don't want to get with it. I'll get used to it, and you don't need to be getting used to it. Put down the carnal man. I want to see more of Jesus in you. I want to see more work of God in you, the righteousness of God coming alive in you. I want to see that. I want to see the Lord represented in your life. Not you, in the sense of you, and you call him a man. I'm getting into too much meddling here, huh? Oh, I hope that, guys, you still love me. I hope you still love me. I'm preaching to me too here, man. Come on. I'm preaching to me too. All right? Oh, watch your tongue. Just watch your tongue. You know, be careful. Try to be slow to speak. You know, don't regurgitate things. Try to be careful. You know, let God minister and be blessed in you, okay? And bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. You know, if you're going around about just saying what you're saying, whatnot, etc., and you're not really getting an understanding of what God is doing in your life, you're deceiving your own heart, and your religion is made vain. I don't want to go out in this world serving Christ in vanity, thinking I'm putting on airs, doing this thing, and etc. I want to live a life in such a way where it touches you, where Christ is honored, where Christ is glorified, and where you are attracted to the Jesus in me, and that the Lord makes a way in your heart so that you can receive the things of God and say, hey, when something's going on in your life, etc., whatever, hey, you know, that guy, you know, he's got something, he lives a life the way it's supposed to be. I'm going to talk to him. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen. God wants to minister through you. Give him an opportunity. Verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Okay? Verse 27 is a tough one, right? Okay. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The Lord has a special place for those who minister to the fatherless and the widows. A special place in taking care of widows was that which was administered to through the apostles in the New Testament. And in the church today, those who have lost their husbands or wives need to be prayed for. And those who are fatherless and those who are a necessity of life being afflicted by things, we need to help them. Be with them. There are some folks that we visit who can't get out. They can't go anywhere. You know, and because of their physical situation, we don't leave them alone. We try to call them. We try to visit them. We try to talk with them. And that's something we need to do, all of us. And caring for those in the hospital and ministering to those around us, we need to show the love of God. And once again, it is so important because it shows that I am not, you know, the circumference of my living, but that my living out my life and ministering to my fellow man is of ultimate importance. And I want to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions and to keep myself unspotted from this world. I want this world not to disconnect me from my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if I'm not careful, this world and what's around about and the environment of it can short circuit my life. And I can receive things in this world that I don't want to have become a part of my spirit. I want to have an attitude of gratitude. I want to have hope and strength. I don't want to let things of this world and its decayed nature become that which is more prominent around me and in me than my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we need to get about and do God's business in this world. And if we will do it and do it according to God's work and purpose, great things are going to happen. But we have to be those who honor him in a way that sees him be able to work within us as we listen and learn and hear the things of God and do what he has called us to do. What good is a plan? What good is a vision? What good is a calling if I don't take that which God has given me and actually do what God has called me to do? Don't put God off, you know, someplace. Don't put the calling of God off. Take up what God has called you to do. Consider the work of the Lord. Prepare yourself for the ministry. Prepare yourself for the purposes of God. Prepare yourself for honoring the Lord. And if you know you've been called for a certain purpose unto heaven, show forth the wisdom of God by taking in those things, it will help you to become the person, the resources necessary to serve God in His kingdom. Amen? So pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This distinction between pure religion and religion that is vain is defined by the contents of the scriptures and by our lifestyle and in our actions towards one another. We need to visit, is to, and should be understood of taking care of others. Amen. And we need to show forth the propensity of serving God in a way that we share our love one for another. The homeless, the needy, the orphans, etc. And when we do so and go out and show our love towards those who are most vulnerable, most needy, we are responding out of the power of the Holy Spirit because God wants us to reach out to the needy and to show them that there is hope in Christ Jesus. Amen? There is hope. Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians, okay? That's the other scriptures I want to deal with. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, I believe. Actually, yeah. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. And we're going to close with these scriptures, okay? And what we're going to deal with here. Verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of this world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorifieth, let him glorify, or let him glory in the Lord. There's a couple things here we need to deal with, okay? And then we will close up our lesson for today. Okay? Let's go back there to verse 26, all right? For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Okay, how do you see your calling in Christ Jesus? That's a question I want to ask you today. How do you see your calling in Christ Jesus? Now, we're all called to be children of God. And after we're called to be children of God, to be kings and priests unto the Lord in our relationship of going forth in the power and the priesthood of the Lord. Okay? But the thing we have to remember here is that we have to recognize our calling. And after we receive that calling into His kingdom and we're part of that chosen generation, we need to find out where we are to be plugged in and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and allow God to direct us. But don't force it to come, okay? There was a certain time period before I received my calling into the ministry, even though I always felt I had the calling to preach as a young boy. And each and every one of you, as specifics are laid out by the Holy Spirit and open doors are seen, had that calling revealed unto you. Many of us get frustrated. Many of us, you know, get really exasperated looking for or trying to find that place of service in God's kingdom or that calling in God's kingdom. Don't let that anxiety, don't let that kind of, situation become part of you, that mentality. It's too easy to become a part of you and to kind of hinder your walk with the Lord. I've known too many young ministers, teachers, preachers, or saints of God who worked so hard to find their calling or find their spouse or find this, that they kind of missed out on so many things in their life and just enjoying what God is opening up in their daily walk with the Lord. They worried too much about it. Okay? God, in due season, will open up and show you things and bring people in your life that will help you as you walk in the call of the Lord, okay? So how do you see your calling today? And out of respect, remember, put that in the hands of the Lord and ask wise counsel as you go forth, not just in the calling, whether it be something that God wants you to do in the church or whatever, but be people who are hearers and doers of God's word. And don't just try to create something out of nothing because you have anxiety about it. Okay? How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. There are people that are not called to certain things that you think they're equipped. You know, look at all they have in their mental package. Look at all they have in their physical prowess, etc. These people would be perfect for this. But I promise you, a lot of pastors have put people on different boards and different other things thinking, hey, they got the intellectual this and that and the other thing. They'd be perfect for this, but yet they didn't have the spiritual understanding and the Holy Ghost embedded deep enough within them to handle the post that that pastor or leader was trying to assign them to. And those pastors are shocked when that person doesn't work out or when they're butting against the pastor constantly. Okay? That's because there's a lot more to, quote, serving God than, quote, the ability a person has or the talents a person has. There's something down deep. And where that humility is that we learned about earlier and how important it is to have that humble nature is in honoring the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit to have its way really has its greatest place in leadership in the church and becoming part of the called and the chosen. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and this which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. There's confounding things. There's things that seem to be foolish. There's things that seem to be mighty. There's different things in this world with its oddity and contradictions that keep everybody on edge and make people wonder and can confuse us each and every day. But it's to those who allow God's Spirit to minister, allow Him to reveal, for Him to show what is and what is not, that receive the understanding to go forth. There are disciples that stayed with Jesus along his pathway in ministry. And many times Jesus would teach in parables or in other ways that were not distinctly visible to those around about what he was saying. And his disciples many times got confused. And Jesus would take those disciples aside after he had preached his message or spoke to a group of people or etc. or after he had accomplished some miracle, and he'd explain things to them, okay, that they'd have a better understanding. We might not know all that is going on in this world. I might not have a perfect picture on what is and what is not. But I know if I stay close enough to the Lord and allow Him to choose to reveal to me those things, and I allow the Holy Spirit to help me, I will begin to see things through the prism of God's view where I see reality. One time, the prophet of God was surrounded by the enemy. Was surrounded by an enemy that was trying to capture him or destroy him. And his servant, you know, just was saying, hey, we're goners, we're goners. But then the prophet, the man of God said, hey, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And all of a sudden, God opened his eyes and he saw spiritually everything and saw the power of God and those of God's ministering spirits that were there to assist him. He wasn't alone, not alone in the battle whatsoever. And the battle was the Lord's, and God had already set it forth and was going to show forth his glory. Sometimes we just don't see things through God's eyes. Sometimes we don't perceive things out of what God does. And he uses the foolish things in this world sometimes to really get under people's skin to reveal something that is necessary so that God can get His business done. Amen. We live in a world where people just think they know everything. But so many people are just living in ignorance, not understanding and seeing the whole picture. Look at verse 29. All right? Well, I'll go back to verse 28. I apologize. I need that to dovetail into it. And base things of this world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, these things are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Why do we have these things? Why do we have these contradictions? Why are these things relevant and the foolish things? Because, hey, God's going to show people their foolishness. And that no flesh should glory in His presence. God sees everything. He knows everything. And when you're walking with God and putting on the mind of Christ, which is part of the armor of God, He will give you the ability to be able to see things more clearly and with more insight as you walk in Christ each and every day. And so you'll be walking into less traps. You'll see things for what they are. And you'll begin to see the victory of God more so in your life as you become more immersed into the understanding of the Lord, His wisdom, and His plan through His Word and His Holy Spirit. Verse 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Everything you do is unto the Lord. Don't glory in yourself. Even when you see a great miracle, when you pray for somebody or certain things happen, don't glory in self. Don't glory in what is. Honor God. Make sure that the Lord receives all the praise, because it's in Him we should be seeing and expressing our thanksgiving and understand that everything should give Him glory and honor. Hallelujah. Be careful about taking credit where credit isn't due. Give God honor. Give God praise. Always feign towards thanksgiving. Always feign or give towards thanksgiving in your heart. Okay? Recognizing the goodness of God. Too often we think we've accomplished something or we have done these great things, but no. Every good and precious gift comes from above. And as the Lord has shown forth His glory through you, it's been that He would receive honor and praise. And if you keep that attitude and keep that humble heart, the Lord's going to help you as you go forth and let the Word become a part of you. And you begin to work out the things of God, being a hearer and a doer of the Word. There's more I'd like to say, but let's stop here. We've dealt with the scriptures that I want to deal with today. And I pray that God's Word has touched you and that there's things within the Word of God that helped you today. And I pray that in our hearts and lives, we would look at that mirror of, that the Holy Spirit gives us and see ourselves for what we are and prepare ourselves each day as God wants us to for the battles ahead, for the opportunities ahead, for the things He wants to see accomplished in our lives. And be sincerely honest with ourselves. Amen. And with others. Praise God. And see God's glory and for Him touching lives as we go forth in His name. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so very much for being with us today. Thank You for this Word that You have shared with us today. And I pray that it would become a part of us and it would give us insight and clarity into our lives. I pray that this Word will not return void, but it would have profit. It would have blessing. It would see that which is in people's hearts and lives that sees return on it. And that's an investment of seed that will see God power and prosper and touch people's lives. And I pray, Lord, that You'd help each and every one of us to put aside our self and allow You to become extremely, powerfully, poignantly expressed within our life. And that people can see You more so than ever in our character traits each and every day. We thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for Your mercy. And we pray for Your steadfast love. And thank You for Your Word. And thank You, Lord Jesus, for giving Your heart and life for me. And that, Lord, when I place my trust in You, You come in and You make the rough places plain. You straighten out the crooked areas. And You remove the mountains and impediments in my life. so that I can see your glory and vision each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today. Till next time, that you're with us and the word is coming forth. Be blessed this week. I pray God in attendance and His Holy Spirit blessing you in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, God bless you.